Welcome to the City Current Radio Show, focused on sharing and empowering the good in our community. This show takes an in-depth look at the heartbeat of Middle Tennessee, the organizations and individuals leading by example to fuel change and how we can make a difference. Now here's your host, City Current CEO, Jeremy Park.
Welcome to the City Current Radio Show. I'm your host, Jeremy Park. We're always honored to bring you inspiring stories of individuals and organizations leading by example and making a difference. With that in mind, we get to kick it off with Be Well. We have Ricky Ratner. She's the founder and director of Be Well. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well, thank you. How are you, Jeremy?
Doing good. So we get to talk about stress reduction, movement. Give us some background and some history, though, for Be Well.
Yeah. So I stepped into the classroom as a fourth grade teacher. And, you know, I think a lot of teachers will tell you I was not formally trained as a teacher. I stepped into education through Teach for America. But I think a lot of teachers will tell you, you don't know what you're going to walk into when you step into your own classroom. Like, nothing fully prepares you for that experience. But the biggest gap I saw in my preparation was around social emotional learning. I remember there was 1 hour that we spent in our Metro Nashville Public School District new teacher orientation. It's 3 days long. We spent 1 hour talking about social emotional learning. Everything else is about academics, breaking down standards. And when they talked about SEL, I remember sitting there as a 22-year-old fresh out of college thinking, like, who am I to step in front of these kids acting like I know something? When you're talking about self-management, self-regulation, social awareness, responsible decision-making, and relationship skills, like, those are huge. And I felt like these are things that I'm just starting to get a grip on as someone out of college. You know, how am I supposed to teach little children about this? And then we went back to academics and I quickly forgot about social emotional learning. But then you step into your classroom and social emotional needs are so real. And this is before we had this pandemic and a lot of hatred and racism came out in our country. But nonetheless, social emotional needs were very obvious when I stepped into my classroom. You know, kids had real things going on inside and outside of the classroom that we couldn't ignore. And we knew were happening, but it seems like we didn't have the resources in place to address their needs. You know, so I went in with the attitude a lot of teachers have. It's like, we don't have time to waste academics. But that quickly became clear that that wasn't going to work. I needed to help my students develop tools to manage their emotions, to manage stress, to manage anxiety, and to manage the, you know, I was teaching in North Nashville where a lot of my students were managing homelessness, neglect, abuse, and like, those are real things we can't ignore. Those impact their learning, they impact their brain and body development. And so I was like, how can I help my students? Well, I use yoga and meditation in my own life. And so I started dabbling with those things in my classroom. That led me to get yoga certified when I really learned about like the body and the breath and why this practice works. And then I went back and was more intentional with teaching students about breathing and noticing body sensations when they feel some kind of way, when they start to escalate and maybe those outside stressors or inside stressors are starting to affect them in the classroom and disrupt their learning. And by seeing the impact that was happening in my classroom, my principal let me do a fourth grade wide yoga class. We started a yoga club. And then I had parents coming to me that I'd never even met before saying, are you Miss Ratner? You've got my baby breathing and they're coming home and they're making me breathe. And then I was like, there's something really powerful to this. You know, it's not just when you give a student or a young person the power to feel their heart rate slow down and they did that themselves, it's not an argument anymore. You know, a kid doesn't want to flip a chair. They don't want to say obscene things. They don't want to rip apart their work, but sometimes that's all they know how to do. And so it's really powerful once you see kids kind of tap into this and then share it with the people they love as well. So that's kind of how it all started. That's the foundation.
And then walk us through now, because this is a full-on program with structure, virtual summer camps, working with organizations outside of even the classroom. So talk about kind of the scalability now with this.
Yeah. So when I had this idea, it was kind of when Metro was going through this shift of we want to get away from suspension and expulsion, but you heard teachers being like, you can't get rid of all of that and put nothing else in place because then kids are just going to realize they can get away with whatever. And that's not what we want. And that's not what kids want. It's not productive. It's not our goal. And so I was like, what if this could be greater? What if this could be something that every school had? So I reconnected with some people in my network and that led me to Dr. Gibbs at Warner Arts Magnet Elementary School. And he was looking for ways to support the whole child, to address this like escalating from in 30 seconds, a kid is a whole different child. Like, what is happening there? And I said, give me space, give me data, and we want to try this out. I have an idea. So basically what we do is we have a classroom that's dedicated. It's called the Be Well Room. And that's a very crucial piece of our curriculum, but it starts before that. We train teachers. We need teachers to be looking through the lens of what is the need. When a child acts some kind of way, what is the need that that child is trying to communicate? It's not they're being defiant. It's not they're not being obedient or compliant. That's not really what we want to invoke in our students. We want them to feel empowered and them to feel like they have the resources they need in the school to take care of themselves. So part of the Be Well Room is that students have the ability to self-refer or be referred by a teacher, but it's always a choice to go to the Be Well Room. It is not, you are not forced. There is still the dean's office, there's still the principal's office. But if you make the choice to come to the Be Well Room, to enter respectfully, to find your space, to take your 7 deep breaths, and to pick your mode of calming down and regulating, we got that for you. We got it. You got that safe space. But that definitely took some shifting in mindsets for teachers. But because Dr. Gibbs was so on board and we were completely aligned, he kept pushing the narrative of, hey, this is a resource. This is a space where our students get to take care of themselves and learning gets to keep happening in the classroom. And because of that strong leadership, teachers felt confident in saying, I can let a child leave for 15 to 30 minutes and get what they need. And I'm going to keep teaching. And that's not seen as anything bad by my principal, right? You know, he said, if I come in and I'm doing an observation and there's something that happens and we're not giving the option of the Be Well Room, that's not what I want to see. You know, we have this resource, let's use it. So we train the teachers. And then the other big key piece is that it's how we begin and end our day. So at Warner, we begin our day with some deep belly breathing and some intention setting. And then we close out the day the same way. So we're proactively teaching these skills. It's not that when a student is on 10 coming to my classroom, I'm like, let's learn about breathing. Let's learn about regulating. We're proactively teaching these things so that students have a new toolbox to dive into. Yeah. And then everything that happened with the pandemic, we've been figuring out, how do we go virtual? What do we do? And that's actually created some opportunity to reach more people. We were featured on NPR last year because of the phenomenal data and results we were having at Warner. And that brought in a lot of interest from around the country that we weren't ready to kind of handle at the moment. But now, using this time and working from home and being in quarantine, we've had to step into the virtual space, but that's allowing us to reach more teachers and more adults. And that helps caregivers and, you know, these role models for kids have tools to help these students manage all the stress that is going on right now. So that's been pretty powerful, and we're excited about how that can look scale-wise. But it's just, you know, these are important tools to be able to calm ourselves and use these inherent skills in our body to feel safe and feel calm when there's so much uncertain and there's so much hatred in our world right now.
Talk about advice, tips for parents, for teachers. Obviously, not giving away all your trade secrets, but give us a little bit of teaser of, you know, what that looks like, especially for a parent who says, I want to try to help my child and learn how to calm down, learn how to do breathing. Give us maybe one or two of your favorite tips.
Yeah. So a lot of people, when they talk about like mindfulness, don't really focus on breathing. But for me, the breath was where that complete paradigm shift happened. In education, we talk a lot about the brain model with the fist. This prefrontal cortex, we got all our capacities in place. We can make responsible decisions when we're here. We're safe. We're in the parasympathetic nervous system, usually, if our prefrontal cortex is in place. Now, if we're escalating, we flip the prefrontal cortex is no longer at play. We're in the amygdala, acting out of emotion in the limbic system. If we get escalated and feel more unsafe, the amygdala is no longer at play and we're acting out of the brainstem. So typically this is where a child is when they're having a tantrum, crying, screaming, you know, they're not in a place where us talking to them is going to help them put the layers back in place. Now what the breath does is it's essentially serves as a neural break. It tells the nervous system, you know, if we're rising into that sympathetic state, that fight, flight, freeze state, if we can engage in deep belly breathing, it stimulates something called the vagus nerve. And I'm getting a little technical here, but the vagus nerve is like the lens through which we're receiving all our information. And so if we're in that sympathetic state and we're escalating, our whole body is bringing in messages that we're unsafe. Now, if the vagus nerve starts to feel the breath is stimulated by this deep belly breathing, when we're stressed, we're up in our chest. If we turn to that deep belly breathing, the vagus nerve is stimulated in a different way, and the message is sent to all organs, everything in our body shifts to, oh, I'm aware of my breath. I'm breathing low in my belly. So maybe I'm not so unsafe. And then if we can keep that deep belly breathing, if we can keep our focus there, our nervous system literally goes back towards that parasympathetic state, which is that rest, digest place where we have all our capacities. So that was really the aha moment for me. You know, our autonomic nervous system is meant to keep us alive. And previously, our sympathetic nervous system was kicked into gear when our ancestors were like fighting bears and saber-toothed tigers and all this, you know, and now we think deadlines are going to throw us all the way off. And that triggers our sympathetic nervous system. So many people in Western culture are kind of living in that sympathetic state. But a lot of my students, you know, the bear is at home, or the bear might even be at school, and they're always living in that sympathetic state. And so teaching how to breathe deep in the belly and stimulate the vagus nerve and shift the messages that are received by our whole body is the game changer. So I direct my students to put one hand on your chest, one hand on your low belly. Like, you even want the hands low below the belly button. And then we're breathing in our nose. We fill our belly up like it's a balloon. And on the exhale, you draw your belly in towards your spine and push all the air out. Doing that, my students, when they come to the Be Well room, they start with taking 7 deep breaths. We don't talk. We don't really do anything until they've done that and taken care of themselves. And once they're at a settled place, that's when I engage with them. That's really the secret. And it's hard. It's hard to start deep belly breathing. When I learned about this in my yoga teacher training, I was breathing in my chest, you know, and there are times in my day when I realize I'm breathing in my chest. And that's when I use this strategy of just bringing my breath lower in the body helps to shift to that calm, rest, digest state where we can act out of intention rather than instinct.
Talk about results and impact, because as you mentioned, they've already been phenomenal. So share some of them.
Yes. One of the biggest things was we saw over an 80%. 80% was probably like the lowest point we hit, but an 80% drop in disciplinary referrals. So that's huge. And then the impact of that, the time on task in the classroom significantly increased. If there's a disruption, it's leaving and it's going to the Be Well room and learning keeps happening. But then this baby who went to the Be Well room is now getting equipped with tools that bring them back to the classroom and get them ready to learn rather than spending the whole day in the office. So the ripple effect of this, like, not only caused a boost in teacher morale, but we saw a huge boost in academic gains. So the growth test that's used in the district is called the MAPS, Measure of Academic Performance Assessment. Warner was one of 12 elementary schools in the city to make all of their key KPIs, key performance indicators, which means that they met their growth goals. So we had our students in reading and math. We were one of 12 elementary schools in the district to have met both those reading and math goals. Now, more significant than that, we led the district. We were the number one elementary school out of the 77 elementary schools in the district. We had the most growth in math. 78.9% of our students exceeded or met their growth goals. And that's huge. This, you know, our school year was disrupted, so we didn't have the chance to take TCAP. But this was the first time in a very long time that Warner was projected to test off the priority list. And so, you know, you just think of, I think the number is 288 students came to the Be Well room. So you think of 288 times there could have been a disciplinary referral, there could have been a disruption that impacted everybody's learning, but instead there was a proactive, effective intervention in place for students to get what they needed and be successful in and out of school.
Talk about how we can help, and then obviously where we go to find you. So website, social media, phone number. So how do we help and where do we go to help?
Yes. So our website has lots of information on that. Our social media is very active. Be Well in School, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Our website is bewellinschool.org. So pretty simple. And I think most of our support right now is around getting the word out and bringing in funds.
Well, make sure everyone check out bewellinschool.org. Ricky, thank you for all you do and for coming on the show.
Yeah, thank you so much, Jeremy. This has been great.